So in the fourth chapter of Masil Sisharim, Ramchal says that people who are Shlemi Adas, who are filled with understanding, they understand that the purpose of life is godliness, what he calls Shlemus, perfection. Because nothing else really matters. I said it as an example. Think of Rav Steinman, who passed away recently. Rav Steinman, when he was in his 90s, made multiple trips all over the world. He went to Brazil, he went to Argentina, came to America, to Canada, to France. And he said the reason why he was making these trips was, he said, I'm at an age and in a health situation, I'm not learning the way I used to learn. So why did God keep me alive this late? What I can do is I can go and try to give people encouragement. I can go, I can inspire people, or see someone with this, real, real old age, and coming to each place and encouraging people to learn more Torah, to set up Torah institutions, to increase Torah. That's what God left me alive for. Why else would I be living? So he was pursuing this point that the only purpose in life is perfection, namely godliness. Kine achar she yisbar ze etzlam, yisbar lehem kmo kein, heyosem tzoyim elov hamasim hatovim hamidos hatovos. Once it's clear to them that the real way to become godly, to do mitzvos, to have good character traits, so certainly people who are wise realize, this is what I'm here for, this is what I should be pursuing, so how could I settle for anything less than this? Or not to take these responsibilities seriously, to be flippant about that which is most meaningful. What's most meaningful in life is to become godly. So I'm going to be flippant about it. I'm going to be cynical. I'm going to make jokes about it. How can I do that? This is what life's all about. They realize that if they don't have these mitzvos, or they don't do it with all the passion, they won't reach the real perfection. Whatever lack of effort they put in is going to be a missing from their achievement. They're going to miss out on being godly. For people of great intellectual abilities, the worst tragedy is to not be godly. So that's why they just want to increase more things to be godly, and to be very careful in all the conditions of being godly. And they're never, not taking something very, very, seriously. Josh, have a great day. Lest they miss some of the perfection, the godliness which they are seeking. Humash Amar Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaShalom. That's what Shlomo says. Ashri Adam Mefachei Tamid. Praises the man who's always worried. I thought it's not a good thing to be worried. We should have faith in Hashem. The answer is to be worried about Torah. Ahu B'divrei Torah Ksiv. We should be worried. Are we fulfilling? Are we learning? Are we changing ourselves the way we should? Hine sof so samadrega, the end of this level of really trying to become godly, yanikres yiraschet, it's called fear of sin. Shehimena meshubacho shebemadregos, that's one of the greatest levels. Vuhu sheyiyeh adam yarei tamid v'doeg, so a person should always be afraid and worried. Penyimtze biyado eiz Hashem etzchet, maybe he has a little bit of a sin, which is preventing him from reaching perfection, which he has an obligation to try to reach. That's where our sages say, this is a parable, that in the next world, each righteous person is singed by the glows around his friend. It's not just jealousy. That's something which people who don't have intelligence think of. Each person feels singed because he sees others next to him who are godly and he's not. His friend reached levels that he didn't reach and he feels bad. Through this thinking, certainly someone who's looking for perfection is going to be very careful with his deeds. So Ramchal, his attitude is one of the classic books of Musar. He thinks that the real goal through learning, through thinking about the importance of the purpose of life and serving God, is to get to the level of fear of sin. And here there's a difference between the Hasidim and Musar. The Hasidim were not so focused on fear of sin. They were more focused on love of Hashem and on excitement. The Balei Musar were very focused on fear of sin, and within fear of sin, being very worried about punishment. The Balei Musar, a lot of their Divrei Torah on Tanakh, to focus on the message of Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, particular sin gets a particular punishment. It's a direct parallel. And the reason why they were so focused on fear of sin and on, you know, the idea of measure for measure is that if a person lives life with a great degree of I'm afraid to sin because I'm going to be punished and the punishment is going to be directly for the type of sin that I did, that's the type of punishment I'm going to get, it makes your feeling of faith in God very tangible. It makes godliness very, very tangible. That you're living with Him, and you see Him, and you feel Him, and your presence is with Him. And your emunah in Hashem becomes a very experiential experience, and not just something that you think about sometimes, or sometimes you have emotionally, but it's with you. It's with you. You see it. You see it. V'haraya. Here's the proof. The wicked get punished. I see the divine hand striking down the wicked. And they felt that level of a very strong faith, that's the goal. And the way to get to that very, very strong faith, they felt, was by emphasizing yiras chet, tremendous amount of fear of sin. And within fear of sin, yiras ha'onesh, fear of the punishment of sin, and a belief, and really to try to look at life through the lens of mida keneged mida, of measure for measure, measure for measure. We did this, we got this, this happened, measure for measure. Now, this is hard to say. I'm going to say it anyway, but it's something that they said. So just to give you a perspective, when Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, one of the big Torah giants, he's already no longer alive, his name was Rav Shmuel Orbach. When they told him that Prime Minister Rabin was assassinated, his reaction was, Al da'atfuch, al da'ataft, atfuch. So that's a Mishnah in Masechet Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that Hillel saw a skull floating on the water. And Hillel said, because you drowned others came and drowned you. So when they told him that Prime Minister Rabin was assassinated, he said, because he drowned people, he was drowned. And what he was referring to is that in 1948, there was a boat of weapons that were brought in, that were sent by American Zionists. Hillel Cook, the nephew of Rav Cook, had arranged a whole boat, and they put a lot of weapons that were needed by the Israelis. They sent it into Israel, and at the time, there wasn't yet a single Israeli army. There were three different groups, but they were becoming one army. And so they had sent it for the group called the Etzel, and originally Ben-Gurion said, good, we need the boat, we need the weapons. And then Ben-Gurion changed his mind, And he said, no, if the weapons come, they have to be given to the Haganah. They can't be given to any members of the Etzel. And Menachem Begin thought that Ben-Gurion would never fire on Jews. So he gave orders that the boat should be brought into Tel Aviv, figuring here you have a boat of Holocaust survivors bringing weapons for the Jews to fight against the Arabs. There's no way other Jews are going to fire on it. And Ben-Gurion sent Israeli soldiers to fire on the boat. The commander of that operation was Yitzhak Rabin. Yitzhak Rabin was the one who commanded the operation that killed 16 individuals. I think 10 of them were Holocaust survivors, bringing guns to Israel. And they had a sniper firing at Begin. Begin was wounded. He was almost killed as well. And it was really one of the moments in Israeli history where the country almost fractured. Right at the very beginning, almost went into a civil war. And Begin said, no, even though they shot at us, I'm not going to call for a civil war. Or they almost went to a civil war. And Ben-Gurion, he was such a stubborn man, his reaction to the criticism that he got was that the cannon that blew up the boat, he called it a Totach Kadosh, a holy cannon. So this is all, you know, part of the unfortunate reality of Israeli history. And a reaction of a Baal Musar to this terrible event of Prime Minister Rabin being killed was, yeah, but he killed people. In 48, he killed Jews. He fired on Jews. He was right. Mita Kenegan Mita, measure for measure. It's a very harsh thing to say, but that is something that the Baal Musar do, and the reason why they do that, and they have that whole attitude, is to create a sense of a very, very passionate and very real reality of the presence of God in this world, and seeing God's hand in this world, and living with a very, very tangible emunah. Here, look, measure for measure. This was the sin, this is the punishment, the exact sin, the exact punishment. I'm afraid to sin. I don't want to get punished. That's what, you know, Ramchal is saying, that that's a very powerful level. Now, the Hasidim, their whole perspective is a very different perspective. They feel that that type of an attitude of emphasizing punishment and how particular sins get particular punishments, they feel that that attitude can be very depressing. People get depressed, they'll give up, they're very worried people are going to give up. So they say, no, you shouldn't focus on that. You should focus more that Hashem always gives a person another chance, and that we can keep getting back to Hashem, and that we live in a society where it's much harder than it used to be, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to take us back. And they focus on the Ma'amari Chazal, the statements of our sages, that, you know, Hashem's, you know, you open up an opening like a little needle, Hashem will open an opening like the Heichal, like the Ulam. You try to get back, Hashem will bring you even further back. To focus much more on, you know, the positive and a very different perspective. I'll give you, you know, another example of this. It was mentioned by Rabbi Sklarin over Shavuos. In 1990, there was a lot of fear because Saddam Hussein, Yamach Shemo, had taken over Kuwait. And when the world community said that they were going to invade Iraq to liberate Kuwait, Saddam Hussein's reaction was, well, if you invade Iraq, I'm going to make Tel Aviv burn. So there was a lot of fear. What's going to be, you know, Saddam Hussein had used poison gas when he fought against Iran, killed a million Iranians. There was a lot of fear. There was going to be, again, you know, Chas v'Shalom, an attack of poison gas, etc. So all the Israelis got gas masks. Everybody had to turn a room in their apartments into a sealed room to try to prevent gases or chemical or biological agents from getting into the room. All these things were done. And in that context, Rav Shach, who, again, is coming from the world of Musar, Rav Shach got up and gave a speech. And he said, we need to do tshuva. He said, listen, we're not that far removed from the Holocaust. You know, the Holocaust was 1945. This is 1990, 45 years ago. He said, who can say that we are so righteous? You know, we live in a society where there's desecration of Shabbos, there's eating of treif. There are lots of issues going on. We all need to do tshuva. And hopefully Hashem shouldn't be upset with us and we shouldn't suffer the way our own family suffered 45 years ago. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe's reaction was, how could a person say that the Holocaust happened because of particular sins? Is anyone a prophet nowadays to know what sin caused which type of punishment? On the contrary, the Holocaust was the Holocaust, and now it's only going to be good. Now we're about to get Mashiach. We shouldn't be, you know, frightening people. On the contrary, you know, Hashem is blessing the Jewish people. The Jewish people have come back to Eretz Yisrael. There's in gathering of the exiles. Now's not the time to be all worried and scared, but to increase, you know, put on tefillin and keep Shabbos, and to do more mitzvos, but not to have any of this sense of terror.
But also, more than that, we live in a world where evil people do very well, and we never see the hand of justice come against them.
You know. I'm not sure. Never. I mean, many times we do,
there
right?
Are times, but
Saddam Hussein's dead, right? He's gone.
But, yeah, but like
Arafat's gone.
The perpetrators of the Holocaust—they got away.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Abbas is still here.
Abbas is here, and he's going. He's going. But I mean, you can. It really depends on your perspective,
so
right? I mean,
you look about it. It's not going to add up. You know,
that could be right. That could be. But the Bali Musar, they'll say, you know, a lot of it depends on your perspective. A lot of it they are seeing coming true, you know. So there's a book I have at home called Yasor Yisrani, that God afflicted me. It's about it's a memoir of Rabbi Gelbtach, who went through the Kovna ghetto. So he relates that in Lithuania during the war, most of the Jews killed were killed by Lithuanians. They were killed by their neighbors. And Lithuania had the worst survival rate in all of Eastern Europe. 93% of the Jews of Lithuania were murdered. So he said he was in Lithuania, and his neighbors were saying, oh, we're going to shoot you. And they all knew, because the Nazis came in June of 1941, and right away, 12 days later, they killed the Rulchana Wasserman, they killed people, they shot them. So Lithuanians used to say, we're going to shoot you. So he said to the Lithuanians, we will have a state before you will have a state. The whole Lithuanian nationalists, they wanted to break away from the Soviet Union to have their own state. He said, we'll have a state before you'll have a state. He said, and it happened. We got to Israel. We got a state like 3 years after the war, 1948. And Lithuania for decades was part of the Soviet Union. And even today, it's a miserable place. It's totally cursed. No wealth, no currency. It's terrible. He said, you see, Hashem took care of us and punished them. So it depends on your perspective. The Bali Musar, they feel that you should emphasize fear of punishment and fear of sin, because they think that that will make the feelings of religiosity very tangible. And the Hasidim, this is the point that they disagree, they think that no, the danger of depression, the danger of getting down and giving up, despair, is so high, it's much better to emphasize other things. But point of Mesilas Yesharim here, even though he's coming from the Musar perspective, is that on one level, what can inspire us to take everything very seriously is the desire to reach, you know, godliness, and to feel, you know, the Torah is very severe and exacting. I should take religion very, very carefully. But then there's a lower level. Achlo Chusim Me'ele, those who are lower than this, for lower people, what can motivate us is rank jealousy. Everybody wants kavod. So he said there is a lower level, and that is human beings always want to beat the guy next to them. Somebody who's, you know, out there working in a business, he wants to beat his competitors. If they have, you know, they have a big store, he wants a bigger store. They had a good quarter, he wants an even better quarter. It's human nature that a person always wants to do better than the guy next to him. And if the guy next to me did better than me, it hurts. It hurts. It's human nature that it hurts. But that's true. You look around, as Ramchal's going to say. It's true about all sorts of, you know, physical things. The guy next to me ran the marathon. I've got to now do the triathlon, right? Everybody wants to outdo the guy next to him. So why wouldn't it be that way in the next world? In the next world, we're all going to be there. And clearly the next world is not going to reward a person by the metrics that they're rewarded by in this world. It's not going to be about money. It's not going to be about honor. It's not going to be about physical pleasures. The next world is not about that. The next world is about, clearly, on the most basic level, whoever has the most mitzvos, he's got it best in the next world. The person who learned a lot of Torah and did a lot of chesed and he, you know, davened with a lot of kavana and he inspired a lot of Jews. Where's the big Kiddush Hashem, walking Kiddush Hashem? He's the one who's going to be in a great place in the next world. There's no question. That's the person who's going to do great in the next world. So, one second, I'm going to let the guy next to me do better than me? My whole life is I want to do better than the guy next to me. So, on the questions of eternity, I'm not going to try to do better than the guy next to me. If my whole life I'm trying to do better than him in money and honor and you know, in pleasures, I'm not going to try to do better than him in religiosity, to do more mitzvos and to contribute more and to accomplish more, to do more for God. How could I not? I should take, you know, so we'll think, well, jealousy is a pretty bad motivation. But Ramchal's point is that the same way we say, that we have to love Hashem, you have to serve Hashem, b'chol levav, with all of your heart. The two letters beis, the Gemara says in Brachos, means serve Hashem with yetzer tov and yetzer hara, serve Hashem with the urge for good and the urge for bad. Paul's saying, it's an urge for bad, jealousy. You can serve Hashem that way. I'm jealous of those people who are doing more, so I need to do more, because I want to do more than them. I want to catch up to them and I want to do more than them. I want to be more careful in halacha. I want to be more careful in my mitzvos. I want to do more Torah. I want to do more good. Because in the next world, how can I can't stand people doing better than me in this world. I'm going to be happy with people doing better than me in the next world. So with that type of a motivation, of course, it's not the highest level. The highest level is I want to do good because the Torah tells me to do good, because life is to be godly. And if there's somebody doing more good than me, I feel bad because if he could do it, let me do it. But even if you don't, are not on that level. So if you're not on that level, just on a more basic level, you're going to let somebody beat you. I'm going to let somebody beat me. I want to get to the highest point I can. V'nei, yesh me'abtam me'vakshim rak l'hakam e'alem. Now, there are all sorts of fools who want to have an easy life. And they say, you know, lamani agi atzmeinu kol kach b'chassidus u'prishus. You know, why should I work so hard? In Yiddish, there's a phrase, lazmer leben, you know, let us live, you know. What do you make it so difficult for us? You know, I want to have an easy life. You know what? So I won't be a Rasha. You know, I'm not going to harm anybody. I'm not going to steal from anyone. I'm not going to Gehenna. I know I'm not going to Gehenna. I wasn't so terrible. And you know what? Gan Eden, you know, that could be for Rav Shteinman. You know, he'll be there in Gan Eden. I'll be all right. You know, I'll be in the back of the room. I'm going to have a small mind. You know, a lot of people think that way. I don't need to go to Gan Eden, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim of Gan Eden. You know, it's okay. I'll be in the back. I'm all right, you know. I'll have an easy life here, and I'll be in the next world also. Okay, won't be as much as other people, okay? So I won't have a big portion. I'll have a small portion. The Mishnah says all Jews have a portion in the world to come. I'll have a portion. That's enough for us. We're going to make life so difficult because, you know, we want to do more. So Ramchal says, I want to ask one question to these people.
Is
In this world, which is passing, we're not here forever, we're only here for a certain amount of time. So in this passing world, these same people, they have an easy time letting somebody else, one of their friends, get more honor, more power, rule over them. Imagine if it's not one of their friends, it's a slave of theirs. And this slave used to be his slave, and now he's the big honcho. Now he's got the big companies and the private planes and the yachts and all the different things. Let's say there's some poor guy, nobody likes to spend time with him. He comes to the shul to collect and he bothers people. Nobody's interested and he's, smelly and dirty clothing. And the lowly guy. And now this lowly guy suddenly is richer and more powerful. You need his help for everything. It's not going to make people's blood boil. That guy outdid it. He outdid me. Lo vatai. Of course it's going to make people's blood boil. Kinei neinu ros. We see with our eyes. Kol amala adam liinasel kol mishayuchal. People are working so hard to get better than the guy above them. V'lasim akomu bein aramim yoser. Everybody wants to reach the higher level. Hikinas ishmei re'ehu. People are jealous because of what their friend does. Not because they really want that thing. But the friend has it. I need to get it. He's got, a fancy car. I need to get that car. Because the other guy's got it. That's the whole motivation. If I see my friend going up and I stay lowly, within his heart, it's going to be a hard time to do that. So if we see that in this world, it's so hard to be lower than a guy next to us on these lowly matters, and this is such a waste, these lowly matters of this world, so how could it be that I would go to the next world and now really be lower than people? Where things really matter. In this world, we don't appreciate the value of mitzvos or Torah. That's why people don't pay attention to it. But when we get to the next world, everyone's going to recognize it. It'll be so humiliating if people didn't take advantage. So it's going to be eternal pain. Desire to be, I'm going to be patient with myself. I'm not going to give myself such a hard time. That's not really something where I'm giving myself an easier time. I'm fooling myself to set myself up for eternal frustration. Eternal frustration of the guy next to me doing, having done more. I don't want to do that. If we would realize what we're allowing ourselves to be set up for, we would never fall for that. But because people are not thinking about things, they're just saying, what do I want now? So that's why they don't give up on these desires. And they may not take advantage to fix what they could fix when we have the chance to. That's why Shlomo HaMelech says, "Kol asher timtza yadcha la'asos, whatever you have the ability to do, b'chochacha asei, do it with your strength. Kein ma'asa v'cheshbon v'das v'chachma b'sh'ol. Because there's no action anymore or calculations or thoughts in the place that we're going to. The power to do is when we have the ability to do the freedom of to exercise freedom of choice. And once we pass away, we don't have that ability to exercise freedom of choice. If we don't do good deeds now, once we're dead, we can't do them. So therefore, we should be thinking to take advantage of the time that we have and to do as many good deeds as possible, as many godly deeds as possible, for many motivations. Number one, because God wants it, He demands it. Number two, for our own selfish interests. We don't want to be suffering, you know, jealousy and frustration. We don't like it in this world. We're certainly not going to like it in the next world. So let's take advantage of the times that we have in this world to be godly, to do good deeds, to serve Hashem. And then hopefully, by the time we get to the next world, there's no frustration. There's only the highest levels of Gan Eden. Thank you.